This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Let's bring in Daryl Ryder.
Brought
to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Seems you got into a little bit of a hey-roo with the Afternoon Boys earlier this week over Jed Wills, huh?
I guess if that's what you want to call it.
Ooh, Daryl Ryder. Now, you said that what the media's ganging up on Jed Wills? You said the media's ganging up on Jed Wills?
I just didn't think that the complete picture was being painted. He said more than just he made a business decision. He explained everything that was going on, and I actually take Kevin Stefanski at his words that, Jed just picked the wrong words to use there, and, you know, that the benching, or whatever you want to call it, was not related to that.
Well, then again, I'd have to ask Kevin Stefanski. I wasn't there, but I'd want to ask Kevin Stefanski, okay, what did he mean by it then? Are your doctors at fault? Is he at fault? Is there a difference between hurt and injured? What did he mean by it?
Well, look, you know, everyone got caught up in the headline, but Jed went on to say that he is dealing with cartilage damage in his knee. He's dealing with a bone bruise in his knee. It's the same knee that he had surgery on. He referenced the fact that he has played through injury before, the ankle injuries, and when he has done that and not played well, he'd get ripped for that, and so he just didn't want to subject himself to a more severe knee injury and then the ridicule that was going to come with him not being able to play up to the level that he felt was required to go out there. So, like, what he said made complete sense. The problem is, number one, he's not been a consistent player since being drafted in the first round. And two, he used the magic words business decision that myself and everyone else picked up on. And everything else that he said after that, explaining it, got lost in the sauce, so to speak. So,
sure as hell did.
Yeah. So, like, I just think that what he said made complete sense, but he used two words that you probably shouldn't be using when your team is 2-7. I talked to a couple of folks this week, and, you know, like, what if Myles Garrett said that? Like, let's go back. Remember when he flipped the car, whatever, he had the shoulder injury, and he still played through it? But what if Myles Garrett said that? You know, my shoulder's messed up, and I got to make a business decision here, not to play.
It would have led SportsCenter more than likely,
right? But like, I just kind of feel like that Jed, the fact that he's not been a really good player, he's not been real consistent on the field. I think that there's a lot of things that are used against him, and I get it, but here's the thing, people got to understand. The Browns are going to be making a business decision this offseason, and he ain't going to be here. So it doesn't matter. He's already been benched. He's not playing Sunday. At least he's not supposed to play Sunday. It's going to be DeJuan Jones. By the way, I'd like to point out, Ken, DeJuan's been the left tackle for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you told me he wasn't going to be, so I just wanted to point that out.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I said he didn't want to be. I said he didn't want to be. I mean, hey, if we're going to start digging up the past, I mean, you were the first person to tell me about Jed Wills and how some people were questioning his toughness. I got a mind like an elephant, too. Well, we got some tough-talking people around here. DeJuan Jones told me point blank. It was on the radio. We played it on the radio.
I know.
He didn't want to play left tackle.
Well, guess what? He's playing left
tackle
right now.
Sometimes fate chooses you, young man.
You know what? Sometimes you don't get to pick and choose what you get to do, right?
Apparently.
Sometimes you got to do what the boss tells you to do. And, well, the boss told him, son, you playing left tackle.
All right, Daryl, we got an heated exchange.
Oh, he's spicy this morning, Tone.
I love this version of Daryl. All right, we got into a heated exchange earlier about Jameis Winston. And I get it. Right now, the college quarterbacks – if you listen to Albert Breer, if you listen to other people, what scouts are telling them around the league, they are saying that if it were any other draft, these would be second day and lower draft picks. With that said, I told Ken, I'd rather take a stab at the draft if the alternative is Jameis Winston is your quarterback next year. What say you?
Well, then you'll just be doing what you've been doing for the last 25 years. And it's not.
You think all these quarterbacks are terrible?
I don't know if they're terrible. I watch college football as a casual fan. Because the team's where it's at, I've been reading a lot about the fact that these quarterbacks are not highly regarded by the folks that really study and analyze college football. So I am not in favor of just taking a guy because you need to take a guy. That's the worst possible thinking process you can have. There's other needs on this team. They got to address offensive line. They probably could use a safety. They could probably use some defensive line help. So maybe another young running back, not in the first round, of course, but like there are other needs on this football team. Outside of they're going to have to replace Deshaun Watson at some point, what I think the best case scenario for the Browns right now is that Jameis Winston plays more like he did against the Baltimore Ravens than he did against the Los Angeles Rams, so that maybe there's a little hope that this guy can just be the bridge to the next one, because the options are just they're just not good. All the experts are saying the options in the draft are not good. So don't reach. And frankly, you're going to be, whether you stick with Winston next year or you go to the scrap heap of NFL quarterbacks like you've been going to for the last 25 years, it's not an appealing situation for the Browns right now at that position. And they did it to themselves. They have themselves to blame. So, but I am absolutely against. If the quarterback isn't worth it, I am absolutely against them reaching and just taking a guy in the first round because, well, they need a young quarterback on the roster. Nope, spend a second or a third or a fourth or whatever. Go the DTR route here. Later in the draft, pick them. Try and see if you can do a little development behind the scenes while you have whatever mess you acquire in the offseason. Be the bridge to the future. That's where I think the Browns have to go in this situation.
Daryl, I think part of it is you may be right. You and Ken might be 100% right. And
oh,
all the
I
scouts.
Know I'm right. Like, there's no maybe about it. I'm right.
What I'm talking about is how in the world are the Browns selling Cleveland Browns football 2025 quarterback room, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston? How are they selling that?
Well, they could sell it. It's better than Daniel Jones. It's better. It's better than whatever other, you know, free agent option that's out there, right? It's better than bringing back Joe Flacco. And I'm going to look out for the lightning to strike me, because some Browns fan somewhere is going to be very angry at me for saying that. But you know, I think that that's, you know, what it is. I personally, I don't think they can put Deshaun on the field ever again. That's just me. I realize the contract is what it is. I realize the salary cap obligation is what it is. But I think that selling Jameis and selling some other scrap heap quarterback is a lot easier than selling not only to fans, but to the locker room, hey, Deshaun's still our guy. You know what I mean? Like, I think trying something else is an easier, as you put it there, Anthony, sales job to fans than trying to run Deshaun Watson out there and say, yeah, we still believe in this guy. He's played 19 games since 2020, and the 19 games he's played for us haven't been that great, but he's our guy. He's going to help us win. He's going to get us back to the playoffs and help us compete for a Super Bowl, because that, I don't think, is reality.
You have Jim Schwartz saying yesterday that the death of the running back has been greatly exaggerated, and he brought up Alvin Kamara. What type of season, had Nick Chubb not been injured last year, what type of season do you think he'd be having this season?
Well, it's hard to say, because the offense was changed. This is not a run priority style offense that they put together this offseason, Ken. So I feel like that devalue is the wrong word. I'm not going to pull a Jed Wills on you and use the wrong words here. But it's maybe minimized a little bit. The scope gets slimmed down a little bit. I think that had he not gotten injured, he'd be doing what he's always done. He'd be averaging, you know, 5+ yards per carry. Maybe the Browns would actually have an offensive play that's gone for 40 yards this season. Like, even the expansion Browns did that. Even the 1-31 Browns could have plays go for over 40 yards. This offense is so incompetent, they can't even do that. Let alone score points. And it's probably a big reason why they struggle scoring points, because they're not getting the big explosive plays. And I do think that Chubb would be delivering on some of those. We've seen glimpses. He only had the 15-yard burst. He had the 11-yard burst. But they say he's getting better and better and rounding back into form. Chubb said it again this week that he's feeling better and better as the weeks go on. So as we get into November-style football here and the quarterback situation being what it is, maybe they will try and run the ball more. Hopefully the scoreboard will allow them to run the ball more. And, you know, Chubb will get an opportunity, because I think the thing with Chubb is he needs reps. He needs carries, and they've not been in a position to give him those. And again, I go back to the offensive system. I don't know that this offense was designed to give him a ton of carries either. So,
Daryl, I want to go back to something here, because it's an itch that I have to scratch. You said you were right. You said, I know I'm right. What do you say you knew you were right about?
No, I know I'm right about the quarterback situation that Anthony was talking about.
And what was that?
Well, when he was saying, well, you know, assuming you and Ken are right, and I know I'm right. Don't draft a guy for the sake of drafting a guy. Don't put Deshaun back on the
field. Okay, but how can I guarantee that they're drafting a guy for the sake of drafting a guy when you admitted you don't even really watch college football or watch these quarterbacks
out? Because I'm reading what's being written about these guys right now by the folks
well-written
that really
writs,
pay
I'm
attention
sure,
to this
but
stuff.
I mean, yeah, I would. I don't care. Wait, you're telling me that these guys never get anything wrong? I mean, Dane Brugler is a friend. Dane Brugler never gets anything wrong? Wex Paxton Lynch, if he got anything wrong about him.
Shall I go through the list of 36 other guys the Browns have gotten wrong since 1999?
You're more than welcome to. And if any of those guys come back to draft any of these quarterbacks, then I guess you're right, except that they weren't. They're fired. They're on their ass, or they're doing media, or they're working for other NFL teams.
Well,
don't give me the history when we're talking about the future, Daryl.
Well, but here's the thing, is this regime made a colossal mistake.
And this regime might not even be here coming
and
up in April.
And this regime also drafted a young quarterback who I think we can agree probably isn't going to be the guy, right?
In the sixth round?
No, yeah.
That counts?
Yeah. Has he not started games for the Browns?
Have they
put him on the field?
Not on purpose. He had to because the guy they paid $230 million guaranteed wasn't able to play that day.
Right. And how's it gone?
It wouldn't go very well for a six-round quarterback. Daryl, this isn't a point. What? This is your point, DTR, and I just told you these guys they might not be around come April.
Right.
Oh, for the love of God. Are you hearing any of this?
I'm enjoying thoroughly all of this.
It doesn't make any sense. So we're not supposed to take anybody because we've had a cavalcade of idiots play the position for the last 25 years, so we should just... I mean, you're going back... This is like we're doing the show in 2016 all over again. Daryl.
The premise is you don't draft a guy because you just absolutely have to fill that need. That is the worst decision-making process ever.
Of course.
That's my point.
But what I'm telling you is... Daryl, they're 2-7. So tomorrow morning at around 11:30, get ready to watch some college football because they're going to take somebody. You better get an opinion ready for somebody, buddy.
Well, my opinion is I wouldn't use a first-round pick on any of these quarterbacks.
But you just said you haven't watched much college football this year.
I have. I just haven't studied these guys.
Oh.
I will start doing some homework for you,
Thank
Ken, and studying these
Thank
guys
you.
That all the experts say stink to high heaven and are not worth first-round picks.
And there's plenty of guys that the experts get wrong every single year.
And you know what? There's 39 quarterbacks the Browns have gotten wrong since 1999.
And you're counting Dorian Thompson-Robinson in the sixth round is one of them.
They drafted him. They've played him.
Okay, there's been about one sixth-rounder.
And there's a segment of fans, Ken, that would love to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson start games beginning Sunday.
There's also crazy people at the corner of a road. I don't pay attention to them either.
Hey, all I know is I can't wait to watch Bailey Zappe play for the Cleveland Browns at some point season. I know it's going to happen, and I'm here for it at this point, right?
When is the closest game to Christmas? The 19th. Thursday night football, too.
I don't think they're going to be playing on Thursday night football by then. They got three
Zappe.
Primetime games after.
Yeah, that'll probably go away.
I think they could get flexed.
We should have given Josh Rosen an opportunity.
Dr. Rosen.
Josh Rosen, who's now at the Wharton School of Business, Kenny.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
I love the Fletch pull
does
there.
He,
Good
does
job,
he
Ken.
Put the float? Is it, thank you very much. Does he put
Lake
the flag
Road.
Outside? Does he have a house on Lake Road and he puts the flag out?
Probably.
There you go. All right, Daryl, thanks for having fun. That was a blast.
Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy the college football and watching all those quarterbacks that everyone says stink, Ken.
Joke's on you, Pally. I got to put up Christmas lights tomorrow. I ain't going to be watching.
Hey, so do I.
Darryl
Have a good weekend.
You as well, my friend. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He's been
feisty.
Great this week.
Feisty,
he has been
Darryl.
On fire
We've
this
given
week.
You a feisty Friday show, I
yes.
think, today.
A community meeting, a special community meeting in Fairview Park. But there is more.
The holiday lights, a staple of the community for more than three decades, seemingly losing their luster after complaints were made last year.
We have more people visiting than ever. We have more traffic problems than ever. We have people trespassing on other people's houses.
The city reinforcing these ordinances, which were passed in the 1970s, to ensure law and order on Seabury Avenue.
This year won't be the same, and I guess I'm hoping to be hopeful for next year.
Bill McVicker, along with his wife Diane, began the holiday tradition with a few friends in the mid-90s, something they say was meant to build community.
And I see all the happy faces. I see the families coming back year after year after year.
And while Seabury Avenue might not shine as bright this year, the McVickers, they're hopeful for brighter days.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Days ahead.
Hopefully next year will be different. Hopefully we can have those good dialogues on ideas and get the code changed as well.
Here's to hoping. Now, people can still decorate their homes for the holiday, but they can't block the intersections or have things over the sidewalks, which means those famous holiday arches will be no more. If you are found to be in violation of these new ordinances, you could be facing a fourth degree misdemeanor and possible jail time.
Fourth degree misdemeanor, impossible jail time over in Fairview Park.
Okay,
you
Kenny,
put it out there, your ass is going to jail.
Lock them up. Here's the problem. The arches were the best part of this.
Oh, arches are always
amazing.
The best part.
They were amazing. They were just incredible to see. I couldn't wait to take young Isabella this year because she is at an age where she was going to thoroughly enjoy going under some of those lighted archways. Really a marvel of engineering.
Gonna have to find some other ones, buddy boy. It's not the owner's fault. It's not the people who are complaining fault. People took too close of advantage of it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be Johnny Law here, but when people are mitrating in the bushes, when they're showing up drunk in public, when they are doing these other things that are just not in the interest of public safety, including what you suggested, which was sticking a cop out there to patrol, as if the cops aren't stretched thin enough, and you want to stick and waste taxpayer money. You know, if you live in another street, why doesn't a cop just sit at the end of my street? Well, you don't have any Christmas, like, doesn't matter. Why can't the cop just sit at the end of my street to make sure everything's safe and sound? I mean, that's a waste of taxpayer money, Anthony.
What was a waste of time was having to have...
Of course, you know, with how you operate things, you love wasting people's money, don't you?
Having to have community oversight over this, there was no problem here. There was zero problems. There were a couple.
Apparently, there was because there were people complaining.
Yeah, a couple Karens complained about everything, and they happened to complain this time around. This was their opportunity to get in this and ruin it for everybody, ruin it for all the kids that absolutely love it. There was an amazing Star Wars. The Star Wars ensemble was just insanely cool. And I told people from all over, former coworkers, you've got to check it out. And they said, this is amazing. The kids are loving this. And now, might as well just shut it down. Might as well just turn the electricity
off.
Because
they got in the flower beds.
Bye-bye.
They can't get in the flower beds.
Do we have any evidence, by the way, of that? Or is it just something people complain about and say?
I'm sure it's the person who owns the home and owns the Star Wars thing that said they were in the... I got the text.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got the text from people who said that the people who own that were upset because people were in their flower beds.
So wait, the people that actually put on this crazy song and dance, they're upset that people are coming in and taking pictures?
Doesn't mean you're just allowed to pop on into my yard and stomp all over my azalea. Doesn't mean that whatsoever, buddy boy.
Those
are my prize thorn rose bushes right there. Get on out of there.
This is a war on Christmas and a war on the holidays, quite frankly, because it wasn't just Christians that were coming to see this. I'm sure there were children from all sorts of religious denominations who were enjoying this. And now
what's
this
the
is
Facebook
like the,
page say?
This well, is like the Grinch it. Stole Christmas.
I'm on with my fellow city community of Fairview Park, Ohio members. You know, all of us residents there, we're all members now. I've got one that says the city is very ordinance happy, and happy is in quotations.
Ooh.
Not very happy.
Don't
the opposite of happy.
Pulling out some ridiculous reinforcements. I've also got one that just says fix the sewers.
Well, they could do that as well.
Sewers backing up over in Fairview Park.
Apparently,
we
will just put that money towards a pool. .. There's not going to be a pool.
They don't have a pool.
I think they have a pool, but they used to have a better pool, and now. My fellow community members, we're not happy about that because we're all residents.
Pools can be a very dramatic thing for a community. I know that. Well, I'm sorry.
So what's going to happen here? Are the people that live there that do have the big presentations, the very bold presentations, are they going to say, fine, we'll just take our ball and go home? We're just going to eliminate all of this.
Well, you're already at home.
One reactor has a great solution.
Okay.
I don't live on Seabury, and I've never put a lighted arch up, but if the city decides to enforce such a ridiculous ban, couldn't you just put the arches next to the sidewalk and have people walk on their lawns?
That's a great point.
You could.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could do that.
Well, they talked about the intersections. What's wrong with the intersections?
No more arches on the intersections either.
There's arches on the intersections?
No, they said there were obstructions in the intersections.
I have
no idea what they're talking about.
I would imagine because there's people waiting to drive down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the obstructions at the intersections? I'm not in Fairview Park that often. Well, you know what? You play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned.
Like, can you imagine?
Play with Christmas lights on.
Can you imagine, like, all the mansions on Lake Avenue on the west side where a lot of gawkers just come by and just stare and go really slow? Can you imagine if they're like, we need to go, we need to have a town hall meeting about all these people staring
they
at our big houses?
They probably do.
That's what you do. When you buy a nice, beautiful mansion on the lake and on Lake Road, people are going to drive very slowly by it. And it's probably going to be annoying for you. But you're rich and you get to have that house. And that's part of the deal.
Your friend, Jim, drives by my house very slowly. All the time. Takes videos of it.
Well, because he knows he's not going to be invited, just like me.
You've been invited several times.
Oh,
you
I
just
have?
Drive by on 14. Don't say a damn word to me. Yeah. You've been invited.
Pretty weird we've been friends this long.
I try to get you to live in my neighborhood. There's another house that's going up for sale.
I don't know if I can afford a house over there on that street.
You paid more for your house than I paid for mine.
You know what he's trying to do? Come live on my street, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, is that what's going on?
I'm not trying to have sex with his wife.
Yeah, we all know
he's not
happening.
Welcome to have sex with my wife.
Here
I'll
comes
say
a tour
right
of us.
I'm putting my foot down right now. If we do anything on this show, Lime ain't having sex with my wife. Unless I'm in the room.
Be playing death row.
Did you ever disagree with yourself on an opinion you had 2 hours later?
Sometimes it's 2 minutes later.
Yeah, I think I did that. Earlier today, before the show, I saw the Jim Schwartz quote that Daryl had posted, where Daryl, there are a lot of people agree with me on that Daryl fight, but you know, what are you going to do? Daryl posted a video of Jim Schwartz answering a question yesterday about the greatly exaggerated demise of the running back. Here's Jim.
You know, I think reports the death of running backs has been greatly exaggerated. Is that the way? I mean, we've had Saquon, we've had Derrick Henry, and now Kamara, and these guys that really carried a load and really set the tempo for their offenses. Kamara is a different player. He can run inside the tackles. He can run wide. He's really good in the pass game. He's dangerous in screens. You know, anybody that's the leading rusher and leading receiver is going to get your attention. And, you know, we sort of have to know every time where he is on the field. But that's a great challenge for us, and our ability to hold him in check will go a long way to getting a win on Sunday.
I had a cornucopia of football last Sunday, and I was watching all these games, and Fox threw up a graphic called the Running Back Renaissance, and it showed Kamara, I think it showed a Saquon Barkley and somebody else, and I felt wistful because I'm thinking, man, if he weren't injured, I think he'd be having an historic season. And I said that this morning. I tweeted that this morning. Keith disagreed. And then as I thought about it more, I go, you know what? I think I disagree. Would Nick Chubb be having, if Nick Chubb never got hurt, would he be having an historic season because of these defenses that are playing right now? Or would we be complaining that he's not getting the ball as much and they're force-feeding the offense for Deshaun Watson? I think it's the latter.
Man,
I think Keith is right. I think that my second guess is right. I wish I was wrong, but I think that I'm right. I think that we'd be bitching that they are force-feeding an offense for Deshaun Watson. They're not running the ball enough.
And you think if they were having the struggles that they have had throwing the football, and Nick Chubb's averaging 5.5 yards a carry, you think they're throwing the football?
Yeah. Oof. I think they're trying to throw the football. I think they're trying to throw the football. I mean, he has been a security blanket for us. I mean, tell me, you don't think I'm wrong, though. You're just upset that I'm telling you this. You don't think I'm wrong. Who out there thinks I'm wrong on this? What has showed you over the past 5 years? 3 years. I mean, we used to complain when they had Baker healthy that they weren't running the ball with Nick Chubb enough. Now, part of that is we're a running town. We like running backs, and we love Nick Chubb. And Baker, at times, was a very good quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Now that they have Deshaun Watson, they have force-fed this offense and done everything they could to tailor this offense for him. And it hasn't worked. You're telling me if Nick Chubb were never hurt, they were just going to, yeah, sure, hand the ball off to him 25 times. We used to complain because he didn't get the ball 17 times.
Well, if that's the case, then you really don't, even though I know you think highly of Stefanski, but you deep down inside your heart, you really don't, if you think that they wouldn't be going to the cheat code that is Nick Chubb in a time of duress in the passing game, which is where they're at.
I if you disagree, if anybody else disagrees with me, fine, but it's a terrible, terrible, terrible outlook on things. I get that. But, man, I disagree with myself from 2 hours ago. I think we'd be sitting here complaining. If Deshaun Watson never got hurt, I think we'd be sitting here complaining about how they're never handing the ball off to Nick Chubb. and they're not using Nick Chubb correctly, and they're wasting his talents. Ohio State Northwestern tomorrow, 11 a.m. Chicago time, noon our time. It's at Wrigley Field, where somebody made a joke. It said, because they showed the dimensions, and it's still the same. Like,
it's the same.
It hasn't changed in over 100 years. Like, they had the problem with the bowl game. Like, hey, we got to... Or was it... No, it was Illinois
and
Northwestern.
They had an entire game where they had to scrap their setup, and both teams would just switch fields when they were on offense.
Because you couldn't run into the wall. And I'm like, well, they didn't make it any longer.
The wall's back in play this week.
And somebody made the joke, like, Chip Kelly's going to get Jeremiah Smith killed on an out route because they're going to go, and it's just going to run right into a wall, and that's it.
Okay, I know it's crazy, and it's a one-game, one-off type thing. I actually kind of like strategy-wise that you have to take that into consideration.
I do, too. It's the same thing with basketball and, like, the running lane underneath. Like, because before, like, you play in some of the gyms and there's doors there. And now, because the buildings were built in the 40s.
Yeah.
And now you're looking like, dude, someone's going to get killed on a breakaway.
Season to come down to that? Of course not. But, I feel like Ohio State should be pretty comfortably, 30-something point favorites this week.
And if they don't win by that, goodbye, Ryan Day.
Right. He's out of here. Yep. That'll be the last you see of Ryan Day. But I kind of like that. All right, maybe we have to put away some of these routes for the wide receivers when we get close down there. Because it is ridiculous.
Well, what can you run on your... this show really doesn't gamble, but what is the numbers for touchdowns for Henderson and Judkins? Because that's probably... a pretty good... Pretty good number.
It's going to be a wild atmosphere.
Because you get the ball at the 15 down there. It's like, okay, let's run it in.
It's probably good it's 11 a.m. People are going to be so drunk because you could just get on the train, head on down there. I mean, Kenny, we have been on that train. We have gone down to Wrigley Field.
We have.
And
you have negotiated for drugs. You weren't going to buy them, but you were negotiating drugs on the way back.
They're right on there. They're ready to strike a deal. Always in a deal-making mode.
Not hitting reckless speculation.
It was great. And then the guy fired up a cigarette right there on the train. He did not care. He was annoyed with you, and he wanted us to go back. And I don't know anything about Chicago because I've only been there once.
They're going to take advantage
of us. He wanted
us
to go with him to the south side, and all I've known is that you avoid the south side of Chicago.
Well, had it been an hour
about it and everything.
It been an hour and a half later, I'd probably been go time.
We were with different company. We were with much different company.
I think one of the individuals with us would have been go time 2 hours later.
Well, if he was with us, then you know what? Why not?
Lima, who's famous for his goodbyes or not goodbyes, would not find a way out of that?
Could have been goodbye for good.
And we had some of the best fast food I've ever eaten in my entire life. Right there in the West Loop of Chicago. It was amazing. Zagura at 9. Guys, I kind of feel bad for the Cavs because you're not going to be able to shake this until Tuesday. Howard Beck on the Jim Jackson podcast, the Jim Jackson Show. Howard Beck, who is a notable... basketball writer, person who's been on the show before.
He's a great guest.
I don't think he's very happy with how you portrayed him, but let's hear what Howard Beck had to say about the Cavs and their schedule.
This is not to pour cold water on their start at all. 13-0 is 13-0. They have had mostly a pretty soft schedule. They're going to play the Celtics, I think, next Tuesday. I can't wait for that one. That will be, you can't place too much emphasis on a November matchup, but I think that's going to be an important marker for them. You know, Celtics are defending champs. On top of that, too, the Eastern Conference is kind of a disaster right now. Teams like, the Sixers, the Bucks, way underachieving in both cases. The Knicks were supposed to be one of the top teams in the East and may yet become that, but as of right now, have had a little bit of a slow start out of the gate. And so all of that, I think, has probably benefited the Cavs too, just in terms of contrast, right? Like, you expected a bunch of teams to be jockeying for a position to try to knock off Boston. Right now, it looks like Cleveland and Boston and everybody else is trying to catch up. But again, it's mid-November. We can't react too hard right now.
I think, audio again, courtesy of the Jim Jackson Show, I think we go looking for reasons to be disrespected, and I like that we are. It's not that hard to find it. It's Cleveland. But I think that we go and we look for these reasons, and this is another reason that I can take to be disrespected. I mean, because you look at it. Somebody had posted yesterday on social media the records against teams that are over 500. The Cavs are 3-0 against teams that are over 500, which is a better record than the other top teams in the East. They actually have losing records against teams that are over 500. The Cavaliers have done a remarkable job so far. So, again, you can only beat the teams that are on the schedule. I can't just replace them with Boston every single day. So, you got to play Chicago. They're on tonight. You can't just put Boston there. You'll get your chance to play Boston on Tuesday, but it does make me start to think, like, all these people are still, and he says he doesn't want to pour cold water on it. That's exactly what you end up doing. No offense to Howard Beck. You end up pouring cold water on it. So there's a lot of people who say, well, let's see until what happens until you play a real opponent. It's such an important matchup Tuesday. Because if you don't win, and you don't look good, you're going to hear that for the rest of the year. I do think, unless you go and you beat, I'm not sure how many times you played Boston this year, yeah, but unless you go and beat Boston the majority of times,
isn't there a
I
record?
Think there's going to be something, a cloud that hangs around you. For as great as this season has started, there's a cloud that hangs around you. They play them four times. So unless you go 3-1 against Boston, if you don't win on Tuesday, I think that there's a weird vibe, like, okay, you're good, but you're not Boston
well,
good.
And normally I think that's going to bother a lot of fans. In these situations, normally you look back at the end of the year and you're like, oh, that guy was missing that game. That guy wasn't in that game. So it's always tough to compare. But don't you think the Cavs could get to such a crazy good record, and they are well on their way to doing that, that people will respect them? They won't care if they lost a game here or there to Boston.
I don't. I think that people will look at it. We love to do... The NBA is an unforgiving opinion league. You think about the players that have been great, and we say who sucks just because they either haven't played in a finals or haven't won a championship. That's ridiculous. I mean, you were the one who said it yourself. Guys have bad games, and you look at social media, they suck, they're terrible, they're the worst player ever. Like, it's never a bad day. It's always the most extreme. If the Cavs don't go out and beat Boston on Tuesday, we're going to be licking our wounds on Wednesday, and there's going to be some people who are seriously annoyed. And they might take it out on them because they're annoyed by those opinions. Yes. It must wins, that's silly. That's radio talk. But if you don't look good against Boston, there will be conversation about bright lights. Can you do it? Is this just the mirage of you playing in the regular season where teams are still ramping up? And I think that would be very... I think there's some people rolling their eyes as I say that right now, and I agree with them, and I think they get really annoying and real old real quick. It's you better perform well and better take them to the hilt and give us a preview of what could possibly happen.
I can't wait for that game. I mean, obviously, can't wait for tonight. Can't wait to try to keep this streak going. But this is going to be a great setup for a game in November that normally wouldn't mean all that much, I think, is definitely for two cities, and maybe the rest of the NBA is going to be a pretty big game.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.